Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight I have a special guest, and it's Danielle Roberts. And Danielle is an expert on Medicare. We're not taking calls tonight. We're just going to talk about Medicare with Danielle. And she's also the co-founder of Boomer Benefits, and it's a website that you can go and find Medigap insurance for Medicare and Medicare drug plans also. So she wrote the book, 10 Costly Medicare Mistakes, and that's what we're going to go over. We don't want you to make those mistakes, so that's why we're going to talk to Danielle. Danielle, are you here?
Yes.
There she is. How are you doing?
Hi, I'll be here. My pleasure.
Hey, tell me, you know, I meet with a lot of clients, and clients get to be about 65 years of age, and they say to me, you know, I got to stay on my group medical plan because I don't want to go on Medicare because, you know, doctors don't take Medicare, and I want my doctors, you know, to stay in Medicare's government program and all this kind of stuff. And I say, Medicare is one of the best programs you'll ever have in your life for medical insurance. So what you're saying on that?
I agree with you entirely. And in fact, people really did have to stay on their group insurance and work into their 70s and 80s before Medicare was a program because there was very little individual insurance for people back then. So we're very lucky to have a program that is funded partially by our taxes through our lifetime and partially by what we pay in our retirement. But it's quite affordable, and it covers most of the things that you would consider medically necessary. So although it seems scary when you've never been on a federal government health insurance program before, it's actually a lot better. And once you get to know the parts and how they work, you can find that the coverage is really quite comprehensive.
So let's talk about that. So you've got Medicare A, Medicare B, Medicare C, Medicare D. Explain A, B, and then we'll A, B, and D, and then we'll save C for later, okay?
Yes, okay, I can see you're a little bit educated on this, so that's really helpful. Medicare Parts A and B are the original parts of Medicare. Then these are the only two parts that you sign up for down at the Social Security office. Part A covers your hospital stay. It also covers skilled nursing coinsurance, hospice care, all of these things that might happen in an inpatient setting. And Part B is your outpatient coverage. So think of this like the old Blue Cross and Blue Shield model of plans. You have hospital coverage and outpatient coverage. Part B is outpatient coverage, and it does cover things that you and I would think of as outpatient, things like lab work and doctor visits, but also covers a lot more things than just that. So things like physical therapy, durable medical equipment, chemotherapy, radiation, dialysis, lab testing that goes beyond just your normal testing, and diagnostic imaging. All of these things are provided when you get Medicare Parts A and B together as your original Medicare. And we set Part C aside because that's kind of a different private option that you can choose. If you just have original Medicare Parts A and B, you can add a Medigap plan onto that, but those don't cover drug coverage. So in 2006, the federal government rolled out Medicare Part D, which is optional drug coverage, just a card that you can present at the pharmacy that will help you to have copays and lower costs than you paying full ticket for your outpatient medications.
So you said an interesting thing there, but I'll bet you a lot of our listeners didn't even know. You said you go to Social Security to sign up for Medicare.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's very confusing when you've had employer coverage your whole life that's been chosen for you by the HR department where you work, and now you have to figure all of this out on your own.
Well, Medicare, I tell a story often to my clients when I'm setting people up. I had a client of ours is a former IRS commissioner, tax attorney, et cetera, et cetera, very, very high profile person. And he and his spouse were eligible for Medicare, and I helped them sign up for Medicare and Medigap and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And by the time we were finished, he looked at me and he says, Drew, how the heck does any senior ever do this themselves? And I said, they don't, sir. It's not very easy. That's why there's good programs like SHIP out there that, you know, you've worked with SHIP often?
Yeah, actually, we have a few SHIP counselors that participate in our private Facebook group where we answer questions about Medicare. And they can be a wonderful resource for folks, especially in the rural areas where it may be harder to find a broker to help you.
So for our listeners, SHIP is a senior health insurance program set up by the government that you can get help for at no cost to help you with these different decisions. So we only have a couple minutes until our first break, but tell everybody about the first mistake that, you know, a lot of people make assuming Medicare is free.
Yeah, so a lot of times we meet people who are just now considering their Medicare options for the first time, and they're 64 and a half, and they had no idea that Medicare costs money because they see these FICA taxes coming out of their paychecks every few weeks, and this is throughout their working lifetime, and they assume that when they turn 65, Medicare will be free. And Part A will be, if you're one of those people that had those FICA taxes for 10 years or more, but you pay for Part B, you'll pay for Part D, and so not all the parts of Medicare are free, and you need to know that so you have time to plan for those savings for it.
And Medicare Part B can even be more expensive if you have higher income.
Yes, that's true. Quite a bit more expensive depending on how high that income goes.
And we're going to get into that. They call that Irma. It's not your aunt. It's a extra surcharge on your Medicare Part B premium. Actually, also on your Medicare D premium too, right?
That's correct. It will make you pay more for both of those.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the mistake number two, expecting Medicare covers 100% of your health care costs and not missing your initial enrollment period. Those are two big mistakes people can make, and Danielle's going to explain what those are all about. But first, we have to go to traffic, and we're going to be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm talking with Danielle Roberts, and she's co-founder of Boomer Benefits, which helps people with Medicare, Medigap policies, and so forth. But she also wrote the book, 10 Costly Medicare Mistakes You Can't Afford to Make, and I don't want our listeners to make it. So we're going to number two now. So number two, Danielle, is expecting Medicare covers 100% of your health care costs.
Yes, that's right. And it's kind of confusing to me why this one catches so many people off guard, because if you think about the insurance you had from your employer where you were under 65 or plan that you had through the Affordable Care Act, the healthcare exchange, on those plans, they don't cover 100% either. So you have a deductible. After you meet their deductible, the plan pays a portion. You pay co-insurance. You pay co-pays at the doctor, co-pays for other minor things that you may go and get done throughout the year. And so there's no reason to think that when you go on Medicare that that would change. But it does catch many people off guard because we often probably hear about health insurance that's national health care in other countries like Canada where everything is covered. For Medicare, when you become 65 and you age into Medicare, whenever you make that transition, you just have to know that it's going to cover about 80% of the expenses that you would have for anything outpatient. You will be responsible for the other 20% with no cap on that. So it's really important to look at supplemental coverage or a Medicare Advantage plan to help reduce the risk of how high that 20% portion could get or come out of your pocket with.
And there's a lot of bad advice out there on the web. You know, I've read a lot of crazy things where people say, you know, no, you don't need Medigap insurance. It's not necessary and so forth. But I think it's very necessary.
Yeah, it really is, because in our agency, we have a client service team where we help sometimes people have bills that come in on the back end and they're not sure if they owe something, and if they do, who do they send it to? And we can see what the size of those bills are for things like chemotherapy or dialysis.
Right.
They're astonishingly expensive. So even though Medicare has an allowed rate that is cheaper than what maybe other insurance would have paid under 65, your 20% of that bill, if you have something like 8 weeks of chemotherapy, is still going to be an astonishing amount of money. So it's really important that you know that going in and that you find coverage that's affordable and meets your needs and your budget.
So explain this concept, that the misconception a lot of people have, that a lot of doctors don't accept Medicare, because that's not a true statement at all. There are doctors that treat Medicare differently. So will you explain that for everyone?
Of course. So about 93% of all physicians in the United States accept Medicare. It is by far larger than any network you've been a part of in your lifetime. It's huge. But what happens is that with primary care doctors, especially in some urban areas, you may find that doctors get their practice gets full. And what that means is Medicare does pay providers less than what under 65 coverage pays them. And so they can only afford to have X number of Medicare patients on the books. They need some of the patients that have insurance that's paying higher than Medicare to make their practice profitable and hit their own targets, because in the end, doctors, of course, are business people as well. So that's important to understand going in about that. And you may find doctors that just don't see new patients. But if you have a provider that you've been seeing throughout your lifetime or for the last few years, that provider will almost never dump you when you turn 65. They will usually continue to see people that they've already been treating, but they might not be taking new patients. So if Sally moves into that area and starts looking around for a new doctor and she's already over 65, that doctor may say, we're not taking any new Medicare patients. And so that's where you hear that misconception come about.
So you also, though, have situations where some doctors will wait for Medicare to pay them, and some doctors will have you collect from Medicare. Can you explain that?
Well, they're not supposed to do that, but occasionally you will have a doctor that doesn't want to then do the billing, and they may ask you to submit the claim yourself and then file for reimbursement. And you certainly can do that if a doctor means that much to you, but there's plenty of other providers that will bill Medicare just the way they're supposed to.
So let's move on to the initial enrollment period. So that's very important. Does everybody understand what that is?
Yeah, your initial enrollment period begins 3 months before your 65th birthday. It runs through that birthday month and goes for another 3 months after that. So it's a seven-month window surrounding your 65th birthday during which you should sign up for Medicare unless you have other creditable coverage, like you're still working for a large employer that has 20 or more employees. So if you miss that window and you don't have other creditable coverage, later when you go to enroll in Medicare, you can be hit with a late penalty that will stick with you for life, and it grows the longer that you wait, the higher that penalty gets. And so it's really important that you don't end up with that late penalty. You could also find yourself without coverage for a while, because you can only apply for Medicare during a certain general enrollment period each year if you miss your initial enrollment period. So imagine coming off of your group coverage and waiting a year or two to sign up for Medicare, and then you decide one day to go sign up, and you're told that you can't even apply until the following January. Well, now you've had a health condition that's developed, and you need to see a doctor, but you missed your chance when you missed your initial enrollment period. So you want to look at that carefully and enroll in the pieces that you need to when you're 65 so you can avoid that situation and also the penalties in the end.
So out here in Maryland, we have a lot of government contractors, and a lot of those government contractors are defense contractors, and there's a lot of military people that work for those defense contractors, and a lot of those military people have TRICARE.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have medical insurance through their defense contractor that they work for. So there's a unique situation if you're going to keep your TRICARE for life And even if you have group medical insurance, you still need to get Medicare Part B when you turn 65. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, because TRICARE pays secondary to Medicare, so super important that you enroll in both A and B at 65 then.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got TRICARE out there, listeners, you need to sign up for TRICARE, for Medicare Part B and A and B at 65, even if you have a medical plan with your current employer, because TRICARE does not accept that, you know, and so forth. So that's an important issue for our Maryland listeners. And the special enrollment period, I get a lot of people, Danielle, call me up and say, you know, hey, I'm turning 65. I've got to get on Medicare Part B, don't I? And I'm like, well, you work for Johns Hopkins. You work for Northrop Grumman. You know, you're still working. You still have a medical plan. You know, a lot of people don't really understand that you don't have to sign up immediately if you have that large employer with your medical insurance.
That's right. So as long as that employer has 20 or more employees, that coverage is going to be primary. So you can delay then enrolling in parts B and D, because you don't want to pay premiums for those parts when your employer coverage already provides you outpatient coverage and drug coverage. And then later when you retire, you will have a window, a special enrollment period, to leave that employer group insurance, enroll in Part B, and set up your Medigap and Part D coverage at that time.
Okay, so I'm on Medicare. I've got my Medigap policy, and we haven't even gotten into that. We should get to that before we go too much further. But we got our Medigap insurance, and you think, I'm not going to sign up for Medicare Part D. This is mistake number 4, skipping Part D without other coverage.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, we're very lucky to have Part D, because for over 40 years, people on Medicare did not have any outpatient drug coverage. And I had clients back in 2005 that were paying $10,000 or more for their diabetes meds every year. So we're really lucky to have that coverage, and we don't want to miss our opportunity, because even though Part D is voluntary or optional, if you don't sign up when you're first eligible at 65 and you don't have other creditable coverage like VA drug benefits or drug benefits through the employer that you're still working with, later when you do decide to go sign up for Part D, you could be subject to a late enrollment penalty that grows with time. It's cumulative, and you pay it forever once you get on Medicare. We don't want that. But the worst scenario, as I cover in my book, is you don't think you need the Part D coverage because you're healthy and you don't take any meds, but then you have a catastrophic illness and you need an $8,000 a month medication, and you can't get the coverage until the next annual election period. Never want to find yourself in that situation.
And then, we find that every year you need to, well, we're going to talk about that. That's one of your mistakes, isn't it? Not rechecking every year?
Yes.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get back to that. we only have about a minute, but get everyone understanding quickly about Medigap and the ABCDs alphabet of Medigap plans. Not that you can do it in a minute, but go ahead and try.
Okay. So if you keep your original Medicare and you enroll in a Medigap plan that tacks on to that, there's 10 plans to choose from. There's one that's really comprehensive, there's one that's minimally comprehensive, and there's all the choices in between. So you can choose the plan with the right level of coverage for you, depending on your level of tolerating risk. And unfortunately, they name those plans with letters. So you have plans A, B, C, D, F, G, K, O, M, N, and that can get really confusing since Medicare parts also have letters. So we can go over after the break what the most popular plans are that most people enroll in.
All right, we're going to do that after break. Right now, we're going to have to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're here with Danielle Roberts, and she wrote the book 10 Costly Medicare Mistakes You Can't Afford to Make. She's also the co-founder of Boomer Benefits. It's a website to help you find a Medigap policy, and so if you need help with Medicare or Medigap, you might want to just check out Boomer Benefits. But we're going through some of the costly mistakes we don't want you to make. And right now we're just kind of going through Medigap and the alphabet soup of Medigap plans. One of the beauties of Medigap, Danielle, is that they did make these very specific plans, A through, let's just call it A through N. And it's the same whether I go to United Healthcare or Aetna or Blue Cross and Blue Shield or whatever the case may be. Plan N is the same Plan N as any of the others. And all I got to do is say, you know, hey, do you give me good customer service and what's your premium? That's really all I have to think about, right, once I choose a plan.
Yeah, that's the great thing about Medigap is that that plan letter is the same no matter where you buy it from. So what we'd like to do is look at which carriers in the area have the most competitive premium, and then we look at their rate increase history over the last, say, 4 or 5 years, and look for a carrier that's got a good, healthy trend and isn't yo-yoing up and down with lots of rate increases. So those two pieces of data are something that most brokers will be able to look up for you, and then you can choose the plan in your area that offers you those couple of things, the best premium and a good rate increase history.
So what's the plan that is most popular, and what would you recommend typically for somebody?
Well, we used to have Plan F, which would cover all the pieces that Medicare didn't, but you can't qualify for that plan any longer unless you were eligible for Medicare on or before January 1st of 2020. Fortunately, there's a plan very similar to Plan F. It's called Plan G, and that one covers all of the deductibles, coinsurance, and copays that you would otherwise pay, except for the Part B deductible. So once a year when you go in on your first outpatient visit, whether that's a doctor visit or lab work, whatever it is, Medicare is going to process that claim, and you pay the first Part B deductible, which currently in 2021, that deductible is $203. So you pay that out-of-pocket. Then everything after that, Medicare pays 80%, your Plan G pays 20%, it's all covered, and so it's a very popular plan as well.
So it's only $17 a month you're paying, so if Plan G is $17 or less expensive than a former Plan F, it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's right. It can be a win for your pocketbook.
So, you know, and this is a big issue, and we're kind of going to talk about this later if we get to it, but I think we ought to do it now. And that is, what if you're on Plan F? What should you be doing? Should you just stick with it?
A lot of people have wondered that, thinking that as people no longer can enroll in Plan F who are newly eligible for Medicare, they're worried that the rates for the people on Plan F already may grow with time because you've got a sicker, older group of people that have claims ratios. And that's something to watch, because if you're healthy enough right now to make a switch to go from Plan F to Plan G, you may want to do that, because they're going to require some health questions of you. In most states, you have to answer health questions to switch from one Medigap plan to another. And so if you were in a situation where you had a major health condition or something chronic and you weren't able to switch, you could be stuck on Plan F with the rates increasing over time because there's no new blood coming into that group. So you would want to look at that with your broker and see if it makes sense for you to change, see if another option out there is feasible, and whether you can pass the underwriting to make that switch.
So, again, we're in Maryland, and we have a lot of listeners who live in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania is one of those unique states that doesn't allow you to charge excess charges for Part B, okay? So what would you do in that situation?
In that situation, you want to take a close look at Plan N, because Plan N is going to have lower premiums than Plan G most of the time, and they're very similar. So just like with Plan G, where you pay the $203 deductible, on Plan N, you'll also pay that. You'll also have doctor copays on Plan N. They can charge you up to $20 for a doctor visit and up to $50 for an ER visit. The big difference between G and N is that people on Plan N pay their own excess charges. So if you have a doctor who wants to charge 15% more than Medicare's allowable rate, he can do that. He files himself as a non-participating provider, and you pay that 15% difference, that excess charge, on any Part B claims or services that you have done. And so in other states, that could result in little balance bills that are trickling into your mailbox all the time. But in Pennsylvania, where you don't have to worry about that, they can't charge you an excess charge anyway, take a look and see if the Plan N premium in your state is much more competitive than Plan G. It might be worth it if you only have an occasional doctor visit that you would be coming out of pocket $20.
But if you have Plan G, they will cover the excess charges for you.
They will, that's right. So no matter where you go if you have a Plan G, it doesn't matter if there's an excess charge, because they're going to pay it for you.
There's only, what I think, about 5 states that don't allow excess charges. Is that correct?
There's a few out there. That's right. So it's something to really take a look at if you're new to Medicare and you're getting ready to make these choices on a Medigap plan.
Number five, failing to keep and submit proof of your credible coverage. So you're over 65. You stayed on your group medical plan. Now you're going back and saying, hey, I want to get on. What do you got to get? What do you have to do?
Well, when you leave that employer coverage about 2 weeks after your last day of active work, after the insurance ends, you will get a letter in the mailbox from your former group health insurance carrier that's called the Letter of Credible Coverage, Certificate of Credible Coverage. A lot of people look at that, they don't know what it is, they shred it, they throw it away, and they never think about it again, because who cares what insurance you had in the past, right? Well, Medicare cares about what insurance you had in the past, because if you sign up for Part D late, let's say you're 67 now when you're retiring, and you go in and sign up for a Medicare Part D drug plan, the first thing that the drug plan carrier is going to do is say, wow, we see that you've been 65 to 67 with no Part D coverage. Have you had other creditable coverage in that time? And you want to be able to report, yes, you did have that coverage, and they could request to take a look at your letter of creditable coverage. So that's not something you want to throw away. You may need it to prove later on that you don't owe a Part D late penalty.
What about the L-564, the Medicare form that you have to show that you had a coverage with your former employer for Medicare Part B?
Your Part B, Medicare Part B, when you apply for Part B, you don't have to show creditable coverage for that in most circumstances. Social Security, they could ask you for that information, but most of the time when you're filling that out, the employer is going to have the verification letter. They're going to give the details to Social Security, and you won't end up in that situation with Part B.
Number six, assuming pre-existing conditions don't matter.
Yeah, so remember we talked about once you're on Medigap, if you want to switch from one policy to another, you will have to answer health questions in most states. So what happens is sometimes people just don't sign up for Medigap coverage. They think, I'll wait till I get sick and I can just sign up in the next annual enrollment period in the fall. Well, that enrollment period in the fall is only pertaining to Medicare Advantage and Part D drug plans. It's not a free pass into a sign up for a Medigap policy and get you approved. So don't go for coverage that's less than what you need or less than what you would expect to have in the event of a chronic illness. Sign up for the coverage that you really want to have all throughout your life. And if you feel better about Medigap coverage and paying that premium to get that kind of comprehensive coverage, you want to do that from the beginning and not risk that later you may not be able to qualify for it.
So in the last quarter of the show, which we're already through three quarters almost of the show, we're going to talk strictly about Medicare Advantage and the differences and the benefits, et cetera, et cetera. So why don't you start by giving everybody a general summation of what Medicare Advantage is?
Medicare Advantage is also called Part C of Medicare, and it's a way that you can get your Medicare Part A, B, and sometimes D benefits through a private local insurance company that operates a network in your area. These plans are less expensive for that reason because you're going to use the network, and they're a choice that you can opt into instead of original Medicare and Medigap.
All right. So, it's sort of almost looks like an HMO to some degree.
HMO or PPO are the two most common types, and you may be familiar with those. You maybe have had plans like that in the past through your employer, so they won't look all that different. And we can talk about some of the nuts and bolts and things to look for when you're enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan after the break.
Yeah, my mother is on Medicare Advantage, and, I personally like Medicare Original because her Medicare Advantage plan, I'm constantly talking to those people about what they're willing to approve and not approve and so forth. But anyway, we're gonna talk about that when we come back.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE. or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're here with Danielle Roberts, and we're talking the 10 costly Medicare mistakes you can't afford to make. And we don't want you to make them, so that's why we're going through them. And Danielle also is the co-founder of Boomer Benefits, and if you are looking for Medigap insurance or something, that's a site you might want to consider, Boomer Benefits. Just go out there. There's plenty of information out there and plenty of people that they have that would be able to help you with that. But we want to talk about Medicare Advantage now. So, Danielle, I like to watch golf. A lot of people wonder why would anybody watch golf, but I love to watch golf. And there's Joe Namath every Sunday hawking Medicare Advantage, saying, I don't have to pay anything for it, and I'm going to get vision, I'm going to get dental. And I don't like Joe Namath. He beat the Colts in 1969. I'll never forgive him anyway. So I'm not going to listen to the guy no matter what. But what do you say? What's Joe really talking about?
Paid millions of dollars to hype that Medicare Advantage plan on television, and you should never enroll in a Medicare plan over the phone without having time to really study the documents, especially the summary of benefits related to that plan. So it's fine to call in and get more information, but make sure that you sit down and thoroughly review the coverage on that plan before you enroll in it so that you don't find out something on the plan when it's too late.
Or go to a place like yourselves and say, you know, help me understand the Medicare Advantage plans that would be available.
That's right. We can look them up in your zip code. We can see all the plans. We can see which plans your doctors accept and then help you pick one that's probably going to be the right fit for you and not just the one that you saw on TV.
See, a company like yours doesn't necessarily, you know, if the client goes this way or this way or that way, there's really not a lot of difference in the compensation you make, is there?
There isn't. A lot of that is federally regulated, so it's great because we can suggest the plans to the client, let the client choose the one that makes the most sense for them, and it doesn't make any difference to us. We want to be unbiased when we're providing that support.
It's not like life insurance agents or long-term care agents and all that kind of stuff where, you know, they can do all kinds of things to hype their commissions up and so forth. Yours is very regulated,
yes.
And whichever way the client goes, it's the same deal for you.
Yeah, that's right. And so we like to run the numbers and help them look at the ones that make the most sense.
So let's get down to that Medicare Advantage. It frustrates me with my mother, but what do you think?
Well, it can make sense for certain groups of people. The thing to know about Medicare Advantage is once you enroll in it, you're typically locked in for the rest of the calendar year. And there's some things in those plans that people miss. Maybe the plan is cheap. It doesn't have a very high premium. It could even have a zero premium. But did you check that one of your specialists is in the network? Did you make sure that it has those doctors available to you? Did you check to see what your drugs will cost on the formulary for that plan? Are they even on the formulary? You need to know that. And most Medicare Advantage plans charge 20% for cancer-related treatment like chemo and radiation up to an out-of-pocket maximum. That maximum can be as high as $75.50 in 2021. Do you have $75.50 sitting in your bank account ready for a rainy day if that happens to you?
So Medicare Advantage, you know, has they hype all these things, but you do have to very significantly think about that. Also, you have to be committed to stay in a specific area, right?
Yeah, they're going to be different based on the county in which you live. So if you were to be in an HMO plan and you're outside the network, you may not have any coverage except for emergencies. A PPO plan is a little more flexible, but you'll pay more when you're outside of the network. And so it's not as flexible as original Medicare Parts A and B, where you can see any provider in the nation that takes Medicare.
And they can, you know, deny benefits under certain circumstances, right? They can say, no, you don't need any more of that and so forth.
Well, they're an insurance company, and they're going to make decisions based on cost. And so if a doctor orders something, they might want a prior authorization where they're going to require some extra proof about why it's medically necessary. And you may not agree with the ultimate decision that they give you. So you're putting your medical fate in the hands of an insurance company instead of in original Medicare, the federal government benefits that you've worked for all your life. And the government is more used to rubber stamping claims than insurance companies are.
But Medicare can also decide one way or the other also, can't they?
They can. So most doctors don't put in prior authorization requests for too many things with Medicare itself, but there are things that they can deny. For example, if you had excessive physical therapy and they think you've gone beyond what is necessary in 1 year, they can make a decision not to pay anymore until the following January. And so occasionally you'll see things like that. And there's some things that Medicare doesn't cover at all that they'll push back on. They're not going to cover your dental, vision, hearing, or long-term care, for example.
So mistake number seven is a lot of people think they go on Medicare Advantage. They told me I don't need Medicare B anymore.
Yeah, so you find this plan. Maybe Joe Namath is the one that's, you know, showing it to you on TV. Let's say you find a Medicare Advantage plan with what's called a zero premium in your area. That just means that you don't pay anything for the plan itself, but you still have to pay for Part B, even if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan. So if you join the Medicare Advantage plan and then cancel your Part B so that you can get out of paying the $150 a month for that premium, you will find yourself immediately disenrolled from your Medicare Advantage plan, and now you only have hospital coverage until the next general enrollment period when you can re-enroll in Part B. It's a really big mistake that can be a lot of headache, time, and hassle to get over. So don't make that mistake. Keep the Part B once you turn 65. You will never be canceling Part B unless you go back to work for a large employer at that time. Then you could consider going with that insurance.
So if you're on Medicare Advantage and at the end of a year or so, you think, yeah, I really don't like this. I don't like these rules. I like my old Medicare Original. How do you go back to Medicare Original?
It's easy to get back to Original Medicare itself. You just disenroll during the annual election period in the fall, which runs October 15th to December 7th every year. But if you were thinking that you'll go back to Original Medicare and then pick up a Medigap plan to go alongside that, remember, you're going to have to answer health questions in most states to get that Medigap plan. And so it might be in your best interest to make sure you can qualify for the Medigap plan first before you drop out of that Medicare Advantage plan to return to Original Medicare.
Now, let's talk about that the drug plan. So I'm on a drug plan, and it's a great drug plan. It doesn't cost me a lot of money, and it covers all my things. And I'm very happy with it, so I'm just going to stay with it. That's what people do. You just stay with it because it's been great. Why should I ever change? What do you say?
Well, what you may not know is that every year that Medicare drug plan changes pretty much everything in the plan. It can change the pharmacy. It can change the network. It can change the drugs that it covers. It can add and drop medications. It can change the tiers that those medications fall in. And so if you don't review that every year in the fall, you may have a plan that worked great for you this year, but next year it drops your $400 diabetes pen. Now you're going to pay $400 a month for the rest of the year in that plan, because once you enroll in that Part D plan, you're typically in that plan for the whole next calendar year. So you need to review in the fall, is my plan that I have right now, what's the new premium for next year? Does it still cover my medications? What are the copays going to be next year? And see if that one still makes sense or if there might be another one out there that would be a better fit.
So that sounds like a pain in the neck. So how does somebody do that simply every year?
Yeah, so they can work through a broker like Boomer Benefits. Of course, we're always happy to help. But you can also go to mymedicare.gov and sign up for your own personal Medicare portal. And within there, you can find a Medicare plan finder tool. You can enter your zip code, your favorite pharmacies, and all of your medications, and let it crunch the numbers, and it will show you exactly which plans will give you the lowest overall annual out-of-pocket cost.
And then every year, their drugs are already in there, your pharmacy is already in there, and if you want to update anything, say you changed your pharmacy, you changed a drug, you just fix that and say, okay, search again, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty simple.
But it's easier just to call somebody like you up and say, hey, do another search for me this year.
Choices are good, I guess.
Well, anyway, we're almost out of time. We only, 30 seconds or so. What do you have to say to the audience before we leave?
The best thing you can do is, if Medicare's on your horizon in the next few years, start researching earlier. Take a few minutes to read Medicare.gov. Go to YouTube has a lot of great videos about Medicare, so that by the time you're 64 and a half and you're getting ready to make these decisions, you know the lay of the land.
But, you know, as I said just a second ago, a site like Boomer Benefits, it's a great, those are great services to people because they don't make any extra money by telling you this or that. And so they're only going to give you the straightforward, unbiased advice. So And Danielle, really appreciate it. Great interview. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. I know things are going to be just fine if you only feel what I'd like to do to you. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are going to be much better.